Nothing wrong with a little humor. Lighten up a little bit. Amen. Good to be here. I appreciate all you preachers being here. Sure is good to have Brother Steve Griffith here with us tonight. I've never met him till tonight. It's an honor to meet him and a blessing to meet him. I've heard a lot of bad things about him, but you can't believe anything this man says. No, everything I've heard about has been good, and it's really a blessing to meet him and see all these young people. You realize how many young people, almost all the singing this week has been young people. Isn't that a blessing? Young people. That's a blessing to see that many young people singing in a revival meeting. They could be anywhere doing anything. And it's a privilege to have them here this week. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. While you open your Bibles, I'm going to take my coat off. And I want to say thank you to the ladies that's been doing all the cooking this week. Been good food and good supper every night. I got lasagna on my shirt before I even ate tonight. How do you explain that? Before I even sat down at the table, Brother Jeff hadn't even took a bite and got something on my shirt. Amen. So I'll say that so nobody will, amen, point it out to me later. Amen. It's just being a preacher, I guess. We was laughing earlier this evening. Brother Jeff's wife's telling me he had the wrong color tie on and he had to send somebody to get another. I said, ain't it amazing when before you're married, you're suave and debonair and good looking, you can dress any kind of way and go to a disco and all that and go to a dance hall, and after you get married you can't even match two white socks. That's true. I don't even try anymore. I just throw them out on the bed and say, which one? And she tells me I can't match brown and tan anymore. Amen. If something happens to you when you get married, you just lose it. She thanks for you, but that's a blessing. That's what God give them for. It's been a blessing this week, and I thank you for having me, Brother Jeff. It's been a blessing to be here in this great church, and God's moved here. I felt the presence of God here this week in a mighty way. And I'm just saying that. I'm really not just saying. I felt the power of God here this week, and I'll tell you what, last night, boy, I felt like I was about to strip a gear. I told Debbie last night, we got back to the motel over to Ramada, you know, over at the Roanoke Inn. And I was over there and I said, boy, when I hit that third point, I thought I was going to leave here. Amen. And it's just good. I mean, the presence of God in this place. And how unusual that is in this day and time. Nowadays, you go to church and you sing a little bit and a few testimonies, preach a little bit and get a grunt here and there. And you leave and say, we had a good meeting. And it's so unusual nowadays to go to church and really feel like God showed up and feel like something unusual. Something supernatural happened.
Right.
And to leave church just feeling like God was there. Amen? And I don't want my kids and my grandkids to miss that. I don't want them to miss it. That's what tickles me and thrills me this week. Met all these young people getting to get in on a meeting like this and see and feel and experience what we're seeing this week. I know that we're living toward the end of this thing and we're winding down and we're getting ready to get out of here. Boy, before we do, I'd like to get in a few more licks before we go, wouldn't you? I'd like to see God do something one more time before we get snatched out of here. Amen? I'd like to see one more good red-hot revival before we leave. Amen? And boy, I tell you, it just thrills my soul to see God do something here and there in a few places. There's a few places still left that wants God. There's still a few places that wants old-time religion, old-fashioned, hard King James Bible preaching. There's still a few places. I was sitting there looking at them kids a while ago. There's still a few places that's got young people that want to dress right, look right, sing right, sing the right kind of songs with the right beat, want to act right and act like teenagers ought to. I thought, glory to God, we ain't the only ones left. Ain't that a blessing? I whispered to my wife, I said, I'd give anything in the world if our teenagers in our church were sitting here tonight and could see this and hear this. Amen? They don't get to see it very often.
You're right.
And yours probably don't get to see it very often. Probably more than we do. Now, where we're at, it's a desert, brother. I mean, everywhere you go down there, it's a honky-tonk and rock and roll. It's a contemporary worship service. I mean, it's one of those where you got a bunch of fags up here leading the service and all this bunch of mess. We don't go to that stuff, brother. I don't take my church. I don't take my kids. I don't take my family. People invite us to come sing at that stuff. I just say, no, we ain't coming. And I don't mean to be ugly, but I don't want no part of that. I don't want my family exposed to it. I don't want my church exposed to it. And brother, I want old fashioned Holy Ghost religion is what I want. And brother, listen, we've seen a taste of that this week. And I still like it. And it still works. It's still real. And it's still good. And it'll still get the job done. Amen. John chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll jump right into it. Brother Jeff done gave me 30 minutes. I done spoiled everybody preaching 30 minutes. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of their conversation because I want to preach about it. I'm not going to really talk about the being born again part, but I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But Jesus used the analogy of the Holy Spirit as the wind. He said the wind blows where it listeth or wherever it determines, where it decides. No man knows where it's going. No man knows when it comes and when it goes. I've been noticing all week this week as we come back and forth to church every night this week, first night to tonight, that the wind's been passing through this place. There's been a storm come through here. Nobody had to tell me. I didn't read the paper, but I seen the winds been through here, brother. I didn't see what it did. Amen. Right. I've been seeing trees down. I saw a barn just today. I noticed it looked like it's peeled like a sardine can. I saw the top of a house pulled off. I mean, I've seen trees, big trees tore down and little trees tore down. And that's what Jesus was saying. He said, you can't see the wind. You can't see it, and you don't know where it's going, and you don't know where it's when it's coming. When it's going and when it does come, you don't know when it's going to leave. Amen? I want to say tonight, I want to preach on this and talking about the Holy Spirit. Look what the wind blew in. Look what the wind blew in. Amen? I want to tell you the Bible uses the wind as a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Brother, listen, the wind has been stirring around in this place a little bit this week. I want to tell you unto the Lord that I'm telling you, and from my heart tonight, I ain't just saying this because I'm up here preaching. But a few weeks ago, when Brother Jeff was working on my house, painting it, we've been renovating the house. It's been a nightmare. It ain't no wonder that Noah got drunk after a 120-year building program. I've been in one about 6 months and I've been about ready to get drunk. But we've been renovating the house. We bought a house and we added some rooms that I was painting and doing sheetrock work. And Brother Jeff called and said, Brother Ronnie, what you doing? I said, I'm painting, brother. I'm about backslid. And I was talking to him. He said, can you come preach a meeting? And I hung up, brother, and so help me. I felt a little breeze down in my soul, Brother Jeff. Started blowing around and stirring around in my heart. And you know what that is? That's nothing less than the Holy Spirit of God. I'm getting to move and stir down in my soul and said, son, here's what I want you to do. And God began to deal with my heart. Oh, brother, I want you to know. You can't catch the wind. You can't control the wind. You can't close the wind. You can't compass the wind. And you can't conquer the wind. But thank God, I'm glad when He shows up, you can feel the wind. And you can see the effects of that wind. And brother, the wind has been blowing through this place this week. Look what the wind blew in. I want to say tonight, first of all, look what the wind of conviction blew in. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings you to a place of conviction. I want to tell you, brother, it takes the Word of God and it takes conviction to save a man. I want to tell you, as a young boy, I grew up in a Baptist preacher's home. I heard preaching my whole life. I'm an old-fashioned Holy Ghost
teams and Bible preaching, brother. I mean raw preaching. I mean the kind, brother, that'd preach you up on the pew. Oh, brother, I remember. Thank God, I remember that day when the Holy Ghost of God pricked my heart. Brother, the Word of God coupled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it took one seed to germinate the other seed. It took the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to life. Oh, brother, that day when God, the Holy Spirit blew through my soul and convicted me, let me know I was dying, going to hell, and I deserved every bit of it. Oh, brother, I want you to know there was a hurricane began to blow through my soul.
Look what the wind blew through. We're begotten by the Word. It takes Holy Spirit, old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. You can get up here and preach. It takes the Holy Spirit. Listen, Mary was the seed of a woman, but it took the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit before she became pregnant. That's right. I want to tell you, brother, I sat in a Baptist church my whole life. And I heard preaching, I heard preaching, I heard preaching. But it wasn't until that night that the Holy Spirit conviction blew through my soul. Let me tell you how I got saved. Let me just tell you how I got saved. I didn't get saved in the church. Listen, my daddy's a Baptist preacher. And I didn't get saved in the church.
Listen, y'all.
Boy, I feel like preaching tonight. I've had a headache all day. I didn't think I was coming tonight. Amen. I used to hate Christians. I always walked around with a big old King James Bible and a pocket full of tracts. Couldn't stand them. All they talk about is Jesus. All they want to do is sing. All they want to do is shout and preach. It made me nervous. All they want to do is listen to ZZ Top, Leonard Skinner, and ride up and down the road and drink beer and smoke pot. That's my crowd. Shoot pool and all that stuff. That's my crowd. One night I sat in front of the house, 19 years old, sat in front of the house. My daddy was a preacher. One Sunday night after church, I was sitting there in front of the house in my car all jacked up, a 79 Grand Prix, great big wide tires on it, the exhaust out the back. Man, I mean, that was cool, had a long hair, looked like a Ric Flair, you know. Woo! Nature boy. And I was sitting there, smoking that big old cigarette. Listen, Aerosmith sing Dream On. You ever heard that song? I was sitting there listening to that. And I was thinking, I was dreaming them Christians to get out of the house so I could go in the house. They had a bunch of people over there fellowshipping, eating cake and drinking coffee and talking about Jesus. I thought, on the God, I wish they'd get out of here. They're about to drive me crazy. And I sat there and I sat there and I got to thinking, oh, listen to me. There's something beginning to rattle around in my soul. And something said, what have you done? What have you done in the shape you're in? What have you took this car off like a lid? What have you here head on down the road and not in this miserable condition you're in? Your little bus hell wide open. Your daddy's trying to preach to you. Your mama's trying to pray you out of hell. You're going to burn forever. But I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost, the wind of God began to blow. I sit there. There wasn't nobody singing just as I am. Or Amazing Grace. Was a conviction. Holy Spirit knew. The wind was blowing through my soul. One of them church members pulled up and got out to go in. I was sitting there smoking that big old cigarette. And she walked up, had her skirt on down below her knees. Amen? And her blouse on. And a big old Bible, and walk up the window and said, Ronnie, when are you going to come to church? Oh, I didn't need to hear that. And she said, you need to get saved. Oh, my soul. She said, you know what she told me? This is the truth, so help me God. She said, you know good and well, you're just running from something. God's calling you to preach. Here I am sitting there lost on my way to hell. I'm thinking about how I'm going to get high tomorrow. And this long-tongued hubby walks up and tells me I'm called to preach. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, that little breeze in my soul turned into a tornado. I like to went crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
I said, I'm going in the house. I'm walking right by them people. I'm going to my bedroom, going to sleep. I walked down to the We lived on Mill Hill, you know. I went down through the yard. I opened the door. So help me, every one of them people in that living room was just getting down to pray. When I walked in, Brother Joe, they're doing this. And every one of them looked up at me. Right about the time the door swung open. Only thing I could do. Oh, brother, let me tell you what the wind was blowing in my soul. I just fell down on my knees. I began to pray. I didn't know the Romans wrong. I didn't repeat a prayer. I said, oh, God, have mercy. And go and say, my devil, thy soul. And say, Lord, my God, I ain't been the same. That's old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. It'll turn you upside down. You're sitting here tonight, you're lost. You think you're going to get away from this tonight. You think you're going to leave this church and go home and get away from this, but you ain't. That breeze done started. You can't get away from it. It might ease up a little. But you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and it's blowing again. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run to? How are you going to get away from it? Everywhere you go, he's going to be right on your trail. He's going to say, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You're going to hell. I want to tell you a story. I used to know a fellow. Years ago, when I first got saved, we played in a gospel group in my home church. I played the bass, and met some other people who played music. We knew this other group up in Lenore, up at James Lockie's church. Bobby knows Bill James. This old boy's a good guitar player, and he was in another group. I hadn't seen him in about 10 years. And there's this guy from Asheville called me one day. Brother Ron, you want to get a good guitar player? And this guy's name hit me. I said, this guy might be available. So I called him. He said, so happens I'm not playing with anybody. I can help you out. So we went on Saturday nights and went with this guy and did a little bit of picking with him. Run up down the road on Saturday nights playing some these mountain churches, you know. And he got to talking. He said, by the way, Brother Ron, he said, did I tell you about when I got saved? I said, what are you talking about? I'd known him for years. What are you talking about, Larry? He said, oh, you didn't hear about me getting saved? I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, I got saved since I saw you last. Big old crocodile tears come down. I said, what are you talking about? He sung in the choir. His wife sung in the choir. I believe I don't know what all he done in that church. He was active. He played the guitar. Boy, he said, oh, brother, he said, I thought I was saved all them years. He said, one day, he said, the preacher got up and started preaching. Are you sure you're saved? He said, there's a wind started blowing in my soul. He said, I realized I was lost and I was going to hell. He said, every night I'd go to bed and as I was going to sleep, I could hear this voice way back in the back of my mind saying, lost, lost. And he said, I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't eat. I lost my appetite. He said, I almost lost my mind. He said, brother, I'll tell you one morning. I called my preacher at 5 in the morning. I said, preacher, I need to talk to you. You know what the preacher said? I know what it's about. He knew he's lost. You ain't fooling your preacher. He went over and led him to the Lord. He woke up that morning, his wife was another part of the house. He thought the rapture had happened. Couldn't find her. Look what the wind of conviction blew in. Number two, look what the wind of cleansing blew in. The law first mentioned in the Bible, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, when that ark landed on the mountain, the Bible said the Lord let a wind begin to blow. Before the Lord could replenish the earth, He let a wind blow on it and cleanse it. Let the wind blow to cleanse it. You know what we need in our churches today? Ladies and gentlemen, we need a good old-fashioned cleansing. We were talking about foot washing a while ago. You know what Jesus called Peter? Peter said, Lord, He said, you're going to wash my feet. He said, well, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. He said, in that case, my hands and my head. He said, your hands and your head don't need washing. Just your feet's dirty. You know what he's saying? You don't need to be saved. You just need to be clean. Listen, brother and sister, we don't have to get saved all over again. But we do need a good cleansing. Some of us need to come to this life cleansing fountain and get our life cleaned up again. No wonder God can't use us. No wonder we don't have the anointing power of God on our preaching and on our singing and on the choir and on the services like we used to. We're not clean. We're dirty. Live filthy lives. Brother, we can't turn loose the internet. We can't turn loose the television. We can't quit texting long enough to devote some of our time to God and cleanse our lives for Him. Let the wind of cleansing blow through. Amen. Let him blow through your life and cleanse you a little. The same Spirit that saved you will sanctify you and sustain you. The house we just moved into, I was telling you about, I noticed that the air didn't feel like it's coming out like it should. And I'm not an expert, but I have common sense. That's what we get from up in the mountains in North Carolina, just old horse sense. You know, people ain't got none of that no more, but Joe. Plain old common sense, people ain't got it. Something sounded funny. That thing's whistling. I went and found the return and opened that baby. That thing's cake full. I said, we need a filter. Told one of them boys, I said, go to Walmart. I said, I bet the oven's the same way. There's two air conditioners in that house. Went and found the oven. Sure enough, I thought of first, the people that we bought it from, if they're sorry enough that they didn't change this one, you know they didn't change that one. You go in a restaurant, the bathroom's filthy, the kitchen's filthy, amen.
Come on.
That's what I do. I go to the bathroom first, but it's filthy. I ain't weed there. Amen, brother. I sent him up there to Walmart. I slept at the... What are you trying to say, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to say. Listen, our lives is just the same way. The Word of God is the filter. And the wind is the Spirit of God that blows us through and cleanses us. We need the Spirit of God to filter us and blow us. And blow us through the Word of God to filter us and clean us.
I like it.
You can't just take the filter out. You can take the filter out and it'll run efficiently for a little while. But it won't be long, all that up there gets so dirty and so gunky and so nasty, then you got real trouble. Then you're replacing the whole air handler. Then you don't have air conditioning at all. And that's the same way we are. The Bible said, the stubble, the wind, and the chaff. The wind, the storm carrieth away. The chaff is that part, you know, they used to put that wheat on something like a blanket and those women would bounce it and they'd hit it and that chaff would go up that bad part and the wind would blow it away. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Let the wind cleanse us. Listen, people, we need it bad. We need it worse than we've ever needed for our kids, for our families, for our churches, for our nation. We need to live cleaner than we've ever lived. I tell you, preachers, just don't preach that anymore.
Right, brother.
Them old-time preachers used to preach sanctification.
Yes, sir.
Live pure. Live holy.
Yes.
Live a sanctified life. We're afraid of being labeled nowadays. They'll label us holiness. I'd rather be labeled holiness than be labeled a dead Catholic. Amen, brother. We need to live. Try to live clean. Try to live separated. Try to let the wind of cleansing blow through. Amen. Not only that, but I appreciate the wind by way of the church.
Yeah.
Thirdly,
yeah.
In the church in Acts chapter 2, ain't it interesting when the Holy Ghost showed up, the Bible likened the Holy Spirit to the wind. He could have compared it to a lot of things, but the Bible said that it was like a rushing, mighty wind. Amen? I mean, brother, when the Holy Spirit showed up, it was just like the wind. And after the wind blew through, they became witnesses. It'll empower you. Listen, the wind will do a lot of things for you. The wind will change you. The wind will chasten you. But I'll tell you one thing, bless your heart, the wind will church you. Brother, if the wind starts blowing around just right in your life and in your home, bless God, it'll drop you off down the house of God every single time. Amen, preacher. I got the Holy Ghost. Is that right? How come you ain't been to church? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I ain't worried about you speaking in tongues. I'm worried about you showing up church paying your tithes. That's evidence of being filled with the Spirit. I ain't never met nobody that really loved God that didn't love His house. Look what the wind blew in by way of the church. Let me give you an illustration. When I was courting my wife, and I still love her just like I did when we were courting. It's the strangest thing. I love her more now than I did then. We act like lovebirds. My kids can't stand it. Our two of our boys ain't married, and they've moved out. They can't stand it. We're all kind of smooching and everything. Finally, they said, "We can't take it. Get out." I like it.
Goodbye.
I'd have kicked them out when it's 12. I know how much we was going to enjoy it. But when I was courting her, her family didn't like me. They never did like me. Never did, I don't think. Her mama, God, of course, she did like me. Her mama was old-fashioned. I mean, she's an old-fashioned mountain woman that loved God, that she did like me. Because I'm a preacher and all that. She liked me. Her daddy, he grew on me later because he fell in love with that little granddaughter. And he liked me because of her. Her brothers and the rest of them, they never did like me. But you know what? I could care less. Come Christmas time, Thanksgiving, right over there I went. I didn't care if that bunch of rednecks like me or not. What are you saying, preacher? You mean you're going to stay away from the house of God because there's a couple of hypocrites in the church? You're going to stay away from church just because the preacher said something you disagreed with? Or just because somebody missed a key on the piano? Or just because somebody sung a song that you didn't like? Bless God, you're a hypocrite. You'll let the wind blow through your soul one good time. You'd show up down at the church house, brother, if you'd fall in love right real good. Hey, going to church ain't about the preacher, no way. It ain't about the deacons and the ushers and the Sunday school teacher. It's about falling in love with the daughter Lamb of God that suffered and bled and died for our sins. I knew every time I went over to their house they didn't like me, but I didn't care. I'd go for her. I didn't care. I'd whoop them all if I had to in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's right. Look what the wind blew in. Conviction and cleansing in church. But number four, look what the wind blew in. Look what the wind of circumstance will blow in. Sometimes in your life, the Holy Spirit will blow in some circumstances. Now these folks, these preachers that preach, it's God's will for you to have health and wealth and prosperity. Nothing bad ever happened. They're a bunch of liars. They're liars. That Bible says, all that live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Think it not strange when the fiery trials. Right? Ain't that right? There's a man in the Bible said he was a perfect and upright man, escheweth evil, and his name was Job, and he was a good man, he loved God, and the Bible said he lost everything he had in one day. Do you think about that? The wind of circumstance came Job's way. Oh, Job, you ever thought about this? He lost all his property. I don't know how all that worked, but in my mind, I figure he lost all his goods. To me, that symbolizes he lost all his wealth. Everything he owned. Except his wife. All his kids. That's the worst part. 10 of them. And then Job goes down to the funeral home and walks in. And the funeral director walks up and said, "Mr. Job, I'm sorry to hear about everything." He said, "We got your family back here." Now, I don't know. This is just Ronnieology. I don't know if it's just my opinion. There might have been more than just those 10. Because if the eldest brother's home, which meant he was probably married and had kids, some of the others may have been married and had kids. It just said 7 sons and 3 daughters, right? It didn't say they was minors or if it's adult. But I figure there was some of them was married, maybe all of them. So it may have been more than just those 10. It could have been 20 or 30 or 40 kids and grandkids and in-laws and outlaws and everything. But he had 7 daughters or 7 sons and 10 daughters. And Job had to go in there with his wife and pick out 10 caskets. He had to pick out 7 suits and 3 dresses. And then on top of that, possibly, the funeral director had to say, "Now, Mr. Job, I understand you're bankrupt. Do you know how you're going to be able to pay for this?" "No, sir, I don't." "You know I'm good for it." "Well, Job, you do have a good name in the community, but we have to pay our bills, and this is a lot of people to put in the ground. This is a lot of caskets. It costs a lot of money, and times are hard." You follow what I'm saying? Job didn't just get hit with just one thing. It was like bam, 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 one thing after another. I mean, one thing hits, and before he gets over that, another one comes, and then another. The wind of circumstances. Well, by the way, that final blow was a wind that blew down that house and killed them all. And Job put them all in the ground. This is just my opinion. I just picture it this way. About the day of the funeral, he gets a pain, starts scratching, there's a bump on his neck. And then there's one on his back. Next morning he wakes up and they're all over him. Day after that, they're just getting bigger and bigger and he's covered. He talks to his wife about saying, "Honey, I'm covered. These things, it's killing me." And she said, "Won't you just cuss God and die?"
Yep.
Only person he's got left.
Yep. Yep.
And she turns on him.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Circumstance blew in on Job. He said, "You talk like a foolish woman." Here's what Job said. Job, what he said about God now? "Though he slay me, he took my kids, he took my farm, he can take me too. I'll still trust him." Sometimes circumstances are coming, people. You might say, "Preacher, now look, I know this is the way we think. I know a preacher that got diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, and his daughter said this. She said, 'Daddy, I know the Lord's not going to let you have cancer because you've been a man of God all these years.' He said, 'You're crazy.' He said, 'That's not the way it works. It don't work that way. Just because I'm a preacher does not make me exempt from trouble." He even knew that. As a matter of fact, sometimes the perfect will of God is trouble.
Yeah.
Paul was in the perfect will of God, spent most of his time in jail and in trouble and turmoil and hunger and fasting and all those things he mentioned there in the Bible.
Right.
The wind of circumstance is going to blow in some days. Jesus was baptized, came up out of the water. John baptized him, came up out of the water. Heavenly dove came down. God spoke. There's a picture of the Trinity. Jesus just being inaugurated as the Son of God. You would think that he'd come up out of the water, you would think they'd start a church, wouldn't you? Praise God, the Son of God, He's here. Let's start us a church here. This is a good place. Let's start an independent Baptist church right over here. Guess what the Bible said? The Spirit of God, the wind drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness to go hungry and for the devil to attack him. The wind of circumstance is coming, folks.
Yes, sir.
Why does it happen? Job said, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." It's going to happen. It's like I preached the other night. Sometimes things are going to happen. It's how we deal with it, how we handle it. All these young people here, I know all you young people, you're just like all the rest of us. You picture the rest of your life one way, but sometimes it turns out a different way because of circumstance. One thing can happen. We was talking a little bit today. I'll tell you this quickly. We was talking just a little bit down there at Wolf Hollow. I'm only 52. I know I look a lot younger.
Amen.
Not an amen in the crowd. Brother Jesse's the same age as me, but he looks it. But here's what I'm trying to say. About 10 years ago, I had a motorcycle wreck. Everything's going along fine. I was pastoring a church. Everything's going fine. I'm healthy and I had a motorcycle wreck. Almost got killed. They airlifted me and went through all this mess. That changed everything. Just a split second. Split second. Changed everything. And I'm different now because of it. My leg's all messed up. I've got plates and pins. And really, to be honest with you, my brain's a little different. I don't know if I got it back in straight or not. I wasn't always all right to start with. But here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes circumstance comes through and you can't explain it. There's no rhyme or reason. You just can't get a handle on it. You just can't put a label on it and say why it happens or what the purpose of it is. But sometimes it does happen. And sometimes it's the wind of circumstance God's blowing your way. Number five, I'm going to say, look what the wind, I like this, of comfort blows in. I'm glad the comforter, Jesus said the Comforter would come.
Yes,
Comforter will come and He'll comfort you.
Amen.
In times of trouble, in times of need, in times of hurt, in times of pain. I remember when I was a young preacher, my kids were little, we'd never had a death in the family. In the last 10 years, I could not tell you how many of our people we've put in the ground. My mom, in 13 years, my mom, my dad, her mom, her dad, her brother, two of my sisters. I put my dad and my sister in the ground in 1 week. Preached her funeral on Sunday, his funeral the next Sunday. Put her brother in the ground, and it's just one right after the other. Circumstance. But here's the good thing about it. Through it all, somehow, God comforts you. How many of y'all have said this? How in the world does lost people get through something like this? How in the world they do it?
Amen.
I remember years ago when I was young in the ministry. I've got a cousin up in North Carolina. She had her little boy got sick. Got a little knot on his neck. He got sick, took him to the doctor, and they said, it's just a virus. And they gave him medicine. He kept getting worse. Sent him to Winston. He died. He got leukemia. And I mean, he went, in 2 weeks, he's gone. I'll never forget this. I hadn't been preaching long. Didn't know nothing about the Bible. Didn't know nothing about God. Walked through the receiving line. There sat her husband and her. We shook their hand, and they wasn't crying. They'd been crying all the week before he died. And I'll never forget this. We shook their hand, and I said, how are y'all holding up? Here's what she said. She said, I don't know. She said, God just give us a grace I never knew existed.
Amen.
She said, I can't explain it. She said, I'm fine. She said, he's laying in there in the coffin. She said, we know where he's at. But she said, right now we're fine. I can't grasp hold of that now because I ain't had it. You know what that is? God gives you grace. Where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. When sin gets to your ankles, grace will get up to your knees. When trouble gets up to your knees, grace will be up here about your waist. When problems gets up to your waist, grace will be up here to your neck. There'll always be more grace than there is problem. And God will always let the wind of comfort come your way. I remember I was telling you a few minutes ago when my daddy died, he was a good old... I'm sorry to keep talking about my daddy, but he was a good old Baptist preacher. Country, his cornbread. He's one of them hacking preachers. Praise God. You know, like that. He could preach too, brother. He didn't just hack. He could do it. Son, his eyes would light up like a Christmas tree. Son, he got the power of God on him. When he died, before he died, he had Alzheimer's real bad. I went in his room. I said, Daddy, do you know me? And he's like, he know he's in the world. I said, Daddy, I said, you want to go get something to eat? He didn't know nothing. I said, Daddy, do you know you're saved? He looked at me and he said, I sure do. Just crystal clear. He had real blue eyes, and blue as Debbie's standing there, big old tears coming up her eyes. I got down his face. I said, tell me about it. He said, back in 1952. He said, up on Laurel Ridge in Lenore, North Carolina. He said, there was two brothers married two sisters. And they was having this big fight. The two brothers married two sisters. And they was having a family feud. And they was having a cottage prayer meeting. And this preacher went up there to try to be the mediator and straighten it out. And he said, a bunch of us boys went up there because he thought there was going to be a fight. And he said, well, we didn't know it was. He said, that preacher opened up a blessed old King James Bible and said he stuck his finger out there. He said, he told me everything I ever done in my life. My daddy was crying like a baby. He said, oh! He said, about 2 acres of heaven come down in my soul. He said, God saved me that day. He said, I've been saved ever since. I'm going to heaven, thank God. Boy, I think my hair stood up just like a rooster on the back. Whoa! Glory to God. I'd have had me a fit, brother. I looked right at Debbie and she was just all tore all to pieces. And I looked back at him, I said, is that right? And he's talking gibberish again. He's out of it. Now, I've heard stories like that, but I saw that and I was there. You know what that is? That was that wind of comfort blowing through. God's letting me know, your daddy ain't going to be here long, Brother Joe. He's going to be all right. He's going to be all right where he's going. Look what the wind blew in. I'll give you one more thing and I'm closing. Look what the wind blew in. Look what the wind blew in. The conviction, the cleansing in church, the circumstances and comfort. But last of all, look what the wind of calling blows in. Look what the wind of calling blows in. I can't call you to preach or go to the mission field. But I know when God called me, I've had people come to me and I've had young preachers come to me and say, preacher, how do you know when you're called to preach? Usually I just throw them off. You know, just tell them, go wait till they hear a dog barking or something. Just wait till you see a cloud up in the sky shaped like a rooster or something. Just make something up. You're crazy if you got to go ask somebody. Boy, I'll tell you what, when God began to deal with my heart, listen, I'm going to tell you something you might not believe in. And I don't care if you believe it or not. It don't matter to me. I'm the one doing the preaching, so I'm going to say it. I knew when I was a little boy God wanted me to preach. That's why I ran from it so much. I knew my whole life I was going to be a preacher. I hated it. I couldn't stand the thoughts of it. I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be an astronaut or something. Anything but a preacher. Oh, but when I got saved, brother, I'd run and run and run. Oh, brother, this after I got saved, I'd wake up in the morning and brother, God's still in my heart. Preach, 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 preach. I didn't know how to preach. I barely knew how to give my testimony. I started bargaining with God. I said, God, you know I can play a guitar. I really couldn't. I could strum one a little. Lord, I'm a good bass player. I wasn't that either. God said, you ain't that good. I said, Lord, I'm playing good as that fellow over yonder of Steve Griffith's church. He said, you ain't done it. I really ain't. He said, but I want you to preach. But I'll tell you one thing. That wind blew through my heart and through my soul. And one day I surrendered to preach. You might sit there and say, well, preacher, you ain't much of a preacher. That may be true. That ain't the point. The point is I'm doing what Almighty God wants me to do.
Hallelujah.
One of these days I'll lay this old body down and fold my arms and I'll be on to be with my Maker. And I know I did what God wanted me to do. What my purpose was on this earth. I ain't going to waste my life doing something else. Trying to make a buck or trying to rub two nickels together or trying to be famous. Thank God I want to try to preach and help somebody along the way.
Amen.
I'll tell you what happened to my grandpa before he died. And Wilcox has lived to be old. I'm going to keep the pattern up. I hope I do. Grandpa was 90. Grandpa died when he was 90 years old. He never did go to church much. He said he's saved. If God's got His hand on you young people, you better do something about it. I've never been one of them preachers that got up and tried to talk young people into surrender. And I've never done that. Never. In 30-something years, I've never done it. I got a preacher friend up in West Virginia. He went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I think God's called me to preach. He said, nah, you probably got indigestion. Take some Alka-Seltzer. You'll be all right. And he walked off. He thought, good Lord. He did. 6 months later, he went back and said, Preacher, I really believe I'm called to preach. He said, nah, you're not called to preach. He said, I would know it if you are. And he left him. He tried to talk him out of it. He said, I knew if I could talk him out of it, he wasn't called. Amen?
Yep.
That's right. My grandpa, before he died, here's what I told my daddy. Grandpa, he was the type, he was just old rough as a cob. Didn't show his feelings. He'd never say, I love you. He'd die before he'd say, I love you. I don't know if he ever said the word love. He wasn't mean. And some of them mountain people just like that. They're just weird. They're odd like that. They wasn't touchy-feely, huggy, and I'm like that. I care less you shake my hand or not, really. I still call them supposed to. I'm a preacher. I mean, really, I'm not a hugging type person. Mountain people's like that, ain't they, brother? They're weird, son. And if they don't like you, you drive by, they'll take a shot at you. But Grandpa did this what my Grandpa told Daddy. And he had never said anything to my daddy. He said, Roy, before he died, he's 90 years old, he said, Roy, I'm proud of you. And my daddy about fainted. He said, for what? He said, for letting God use you. He said, when I was a young man, God laid His hand on me to preach. And I said, I wasn't going to do it. He said, I wasn't going to do it. And he said, I wasted my life. He said, now I've got to face Him. My grandpa said that. And my grandpa never even hugged his own wife. He said, now I've got to face God with this. Well, here's what I'm saying. If the wind of calling is blowing through your life, you better think about it. Opportunity will pass by and it might be gone. That might be what this meeting's about this week for somebody. God may be trying to prepare somebody's heart and get you ready for something. It may be the mission field. It might be for the ministry. It might be for a whole number of things, a multitude of things. But when the wind's blowing, is the time to make a move.
Amen.
Brother, you got somebody who's going to sing a song for us? Let's all stand. Somebody got a song for us? Maybe your family. Somebody sing us a song of invitation. Let's all stand with heads bowed. Look what the wind blew in.